Hello, and thank you for listening to our online Victory Sermon Archive. In this segment, Pastor Nathan will be bringing a series of messages from the book of Genesis.
Genesis 33, let's read it. Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men. And he divided the children unto Leah, and unto Rachel, and unto the two handmaids. And he put the handmaids and their children foremost, and Leah and her children after, Rachel and Joseph hindermost. And he passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground seven times until he came near to his brother. And Esau ran to meet him, embraced him, fell on his neck, kissed him. They wept. And he lifted up his eyes and saw the women and the children and said, "Who are those with thee?" And he said, "The children which God hath graciously given thy servant." Then the handmaids came near, and they and their children, and they bowed themselves. And Leah also with her children came near and bowed themselves. And after came Joseph near and Rachel, and they bowed themselves. And he said, "What meanest thou by all the drove which I met?" And he said, "These are to find grace in the sight of my Lord." And Esau said, "I have enough, my brother. Keep that thou hast unto thyself." And Jacob said, "Nay, I pray thee, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then receive my present at my hand. For therefore I have seen thy face as though I had seen the face of God, and thou wast pleased with me. Take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to thee, because God hath dealt graciously with me, because I have enough." And he urged him, and he took it. He said, "Let us take our journey, and let us go, and I will go before thee." And he said unto him, "My lord knoweth the children are tender, and the flock and herd with young are with me. And if men should overdrive them one day, all the flock will die. Let my lord, I pray thee, pass over before his servant, and I will lead on softly, according as the cattle that goeth before me, and the children be able to endure until I come unto my lord, unto Seir." And Esau said, "Let me now leave with thee some of the folk that are with me." And he said, "What needeth it? Let me find grace in the sight of my lord." So Esau returned that day on his way to Seir, and Jacob journeyed to Succoth and built him a home and made booths for his cattle. Therefore, the name of the place is called Succoth. And Jacob came to Shalem, a city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan, when he came from Padan-Aram, and pitched his tent before the city. And he brought a parcel of field where he had spread his tent in the hand of the children of Hamor, and Shechem's father, 400 pieces of money. And he erected there an altar and called it El Elohil Israel. Father, I pray that you'll help us tonight as we go through this book of Genesis and Genesis 33, and that we'll see the truths that you would have for us and some of the things that we find character flaws in Jacob that we also find in and of ourselves that we'll be able to spot, that we'll be able to help allow you to fix them in our hearts and our lives. I do pray that you'll guide us and direct us this morning, this evening, and that you'll help us in everything that we do. If there's anyone here that doesn't know you as their Savior, I do pray that they'll trust you before it's eternally too late. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, how quickly things change is the title of this chapter, in my opinion. This is what I entitled it, How Quickly Things Change. I want us to, first of all, look at the actions of Jacob. Jacob, in chapter 32, at the end of chapter 32, wrestled with God all night. Wouldn't let go. God said, "Let me go." Jacob said, "I won't let you go unless you bless me." Finally, God had to dislocate Jacob's leg, hip. For the rest of Jacob's life, he walked with a limp because of this encounter with God. But he was willing to fight God for a blessing, and God certainly does bless him. Jacob had just had a life-changing, name-changing experience. Yet like so many of the heroes in the Bible, the mountaintops turned to valleys in a heartbeat. I mean, Jacob was willing to fight God Almighty, the Omnipotent One, the All-Powerful God. Esau's coming, and he's scared. I mean, the night before, he's fighting God. The next day, he's afraid of man. Now, we could judge him quickly, but on Thursday for Thanksgiving, you were thankful. On Friday night during the West Virginia football game, you were not. How fast things change from a grateful heart to an ungrateful heart. I would say that between now and Thanksgiving, from Thanksgiving to Sunday, there has been something, some kind of gripe or complaint that has crossed your lips, your mind, or your heart. But just 3 days ago, we were so grateful. So I'm not too hard on Jacob here because I think and I feel like this is something that I struggle with too. One day I'm on the mountaintop, and the next heartbeat, the next verse in the Bible, I'm in the valley. David fights Goliath. A couple chapters later, David's running from his life from Saul. A few chapters later, David's running for his life from Amnon, or Absalom, his son. A few chapters later, or a few chapters before that, David is pretending to be a crazy man so that he might get in the good graces of the Philistines. Oh, how quickly things change. Elijah's on the top of Mount Carmel. Fire falls down from heaven. Rain comes like there hasn't been rain in years. The next chapter, he's by the brook wanting God to kill him because Jezebel's after him. One verse, he's standing in the power of God. The next verse, he's cowering and running from a woman. Oh, this happens. One verse, Luke is saying, God will defend you to the death. The next thing you know, he's denying Christ 3 times. Jacob's wrestling with God, and the next thing he knows, he's cowering because Esau's coming. What powerful thing has happened in your life where you have felt the presence of God and then the very next day you are wondering where to... Have you ever had that happen to you? I have. I have been on the mountaintop sometimes and I have had such a good fellowship with Christ that I think, man, this is going to be the way it is the rest of my life until that evening. Humans are a fickle kind of people. But I want you to know that even great men in the Bible struggled when on the mountaintop. And when you're on the mountaintop, be aware the valley is just a doubt away. Jacob just wrestled with God and now he's afraid of Esau. It doesn't make sense, does it? But aren't we that way? We can be grateful on Thursday and griping on Friday. I also want you to see Jacob's favoritism. All right, Esau's coming. He's got 400 men with him. All right, you two handmaids with my children, you go in the front. Leah, I like you second best. So you stay here with your children, and Rachel, you go in the back with Joseph. I do find it interesting, and I don't know why it's there. I don't know why it's the way it is, but I just noticed it. He mentions Rachel and Joseph, and then the next time we see it, he mentions Joseph and then Rachel. I find that interesting. There's always a powerful reason for why God does things in Scripture, and I don't know what it is. I haven't studied it out just for you to go home and chew on. But Joseph and Rachel are in the back, so we know that Joseph and Rachel are his favorite. This game of favoritism. He's probably 97 years of age now, and he's still not learned the lesson of favoritism. I will give Jacob this credit. We're talking about the actions of Jacob. Jacob led the way. I will appreciate that. Jacob wasn't back there with Rachel and Joseph. Jacob went across first. He was meeting Esau first. Whatever was going to happen to Jacob first. And I do appreciate that leadership skill. You know, it's hard to lead from the rear. Dictators lead from the rear. Leaders lead from the front. It's just the way it is. Husbands, you're the leader of the home. Lead from the front. Mother, you're the leader of the children. Lead from the front. Leaders lead. That's the definition of leader. They're out front. And Jacob certainly is one. He's a leader. And so he leads from the front. And I do appreciate that about Jacob. Now let's look at Esau. Esau's actions are interesting. 20 years earlier, Esau wanted to kill Jacob. As a matter of fact, he said this, "When our father's dead, I'm going to kill you." For your information, he can't kill Jacob yet because Isaac's not dead yet. But his actions are interesting. He's angry 20 years later. I mean, Jacob stole his blessing. Jacob finagled him out of his birthright. Esau's angry. Esau threatens Jacob. Jacob's running for his life from Esau. And Esau's reaction. It's interesting to me, and I don't want you to be fooled, but I do want you to notice it. The Bible says he hugged him, he kissed him, and he wept. That's not the reaction Jacob thought. That is not the reaction that Jacob thought was going to happen. As a matter of fact, we see that Jacob tries to do things under his own power. He sends his servants ahead with a lot of animals to kind of ease the blow, to kind of appease the anger of Esau. Esau's action, he ran to meet his brother. Sounds like Esau was genuinely, sincerely wanting to see his twin brother. It appears to me that he loves him. He wanted to know what the gifts were for. Now, all of this plays in hand, and you'll find out why in here in just a second. But Esau says, all that stuff you gave me, what is that for? Oh, that I might find grace in your sight. When I saw your face, it was as if I saw the face of God and you were pleased with me. And Esau says, I don't need that stuff. See, that's what they were fighting over 20 years earlier. I don't need that stuff. I don't even want that stuff. You take it. I'm fine. And Jacob tries to, and then finally, I love that part. I probably would have done the same thing. The Bible simply says, and he took it. And I'd have taken it too, I guess, if you'd have bit my arm. And Esau, but Esau was questioning why the gifts. Now, what can we conclude from that encounter? Was Esau changed by the actions of Jacob? Or was Esau changed by the prayer of Jacob? It is interesting to me that Jacob did all these things that were unnecessary and useless to try and do what only God could do. How many times have we tried that? We try and take things in our own hands and they end up costing us, yet it worked out anyway without it having to cost us. We pay the price of worry thinking that it will magically fix it when prayer actually does. So our health goes down, our nerves are shot, and our attitude stinks, and it ends up working out just like we prayed for. But the question is, did the worry fix it? No. But God did. See, Jacob did all the unnecessary stuff to change the heart of Esau. I mean, he was truly afraid of Esau. That night before, he was not only willing to wrestle with God, who has all power, but he did. Yet, he was afraid of a mere man, bowing down to him seven times, when God had already promised that Esau would serve Jacob. The outcome would have been slightly different, but much different if Jacob would have went in the confidence of God and not paid that homage. Why? Because God did what Jacob couldn't do. And the Bible tells us that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and he turneth it whithersoever he will. Friend, you and I need to trust the Lord. We need to seek his face and let him fight our battles. He can change the heart of the king. He can change the heart of a city about a park. He can change the heart of a spouse when it comes to the idea of church. He can change the unity of a family. He can meet your needs without your finagling. Yes, we're not to just sit back and not work. We're to do our part. We're to be faithful. We're to be trusting. But we're also not to try and do what only God can. So we're to trust Him. So we have the actions of Jacob, we have the actions of Esau, and my final thought is the after action. All right, everything worked out. Jacob, mountaintop, valley, back to a mountaintop that had nothing to do with his actions. It had to do with the divine intervention of God. God changed the heart of Esau, not the gifts. God did that. Esau, he's certainly different than we last met him. Esau leaves. Two interesting things happen now. Jacob says, Esau, go on ahead of me. I'm going to take my time. I've got young flock, got younger children. I don't want them to be wore out. I don't want the animals to pass away, die on us. And so we're going to take our time and we're going to go slowly. And he does. He goes to this place called Sukkoth. Sukkoth just means booth. And so he goes to this town, Sukkoth, and the Bible says he builds him a house. Well, he was a man that lived in tents. And now he builds a house. Interesting. Now, we're not given either answer here. One scholar would tell me that Jacob was wrong for stopping at Sukkoth. One scholar would tell me that Jacob was right for taking his time and taking care of his responsibilities of his family and stopping at Sukkoth. The answer is, I don't know. It is interesting to me, however, that there's no altar built in Sukkoth. And it does appear that Jacob stays at Sukkoth for a very long time. He builds a house. He builds barns, booths for his animals. It's not just an overnight stay. Could it be that his mother's still alive? Could it be that if he'd have not stopped at Sukkoth, he could have seen his mother one more time? We don't have the answer to these questions. I just lay that out there for you to think about. But Sukkoth is an interesting study. I don't know if he's right or if he's wrong. The Bible doesn't indicate one way or the other. But I do take a couple of things out of it and I ask these questions. But he does get off from Sukkoth, which is on the east side of the Jordan River. And now he goes into the Promised Land. And he goes to a place called Shalem. You would know it as Jerusalem. So he goes to this place called Shalem in Shechem. Shalem means peace. Jerusalem, the city of peace. He goes to Shechem. specifically to Shalem. It won't be called Jerusalem for many, many, many more years. But he goes to Jerusalem. He goes to a place of peace, and evidently it also gives the indication that he comes with peace. So God's peace is upon him. And there in Shechem, he buys himself a plot of land. He builds himself a place to live. And then I do notice he builds himself an altar. He calls it El Elohi Israel, which simply means the mighty God of Israel. The God of gods of Israel, the mighty God of Israel, El Elohi Israel. And friend, that's an important thing there, because Israel doesn't call himself Jacob. He calls himself Israel. The God of gods, not of a country, of himself. Is God your God? Could I build an altar and call it El Elah Nathan? El Elohi Nathan? El Elohi Israel, the God of Israel, the mighty God of Israel. Jacob now understands that his God is the mighty God of Israel. It's important because the next chapter has some very disturbing circumstances that take place because his children handle things wrongly. Conclusion. We see ourselves in these actions. We are 1 minute close and trusting God, and the next scared and not sure of a lot. We sometimes try to take matters into our own hands, even the ones that we have no control over, the ones that God can take care of. But for every time Jacob fell down, he got back up. I admire that about him. A just man, the Bible says, falleth down 7 times and getteth back up 7 times. The idea is not how many times you fall, it's how many times you get back up. There are some people that can brag about their life. I've only fallen 1 time. That's because they're still laying on the ground. And then there's some people that say, I've fallen 100 times. And I'll probably fall 101. In order for somebody to fall 101 times, that means they had to get back up after the 100th time. So get back up if you've fallen down. If you're spiritually in a low place, get back up. Stand back up. Don't just lay there and wallow in your self-pity and sin. Ask God to forgive you and get back up. A just man gets back up. So get back up. I admire that about Jacob. Friend, maybe you feel defeated right now. Maybe an Esau is headed your way. Remember that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. Go to God about it. Pray about it. Trust Him, and He'll see you through. What Esau is heading your way this week? Maybe it's a doctor's appointment. You just know it's going to be a bad one. Well, worrying is not going to help the doctors tell you anything different than he's going to tell you. I know it's human nature to worry. I'm not saying it's not. I know that. I have to tell myself the same thing, but that worrying is not going to change the results. So trust God. That circumstance that you want to have happen so badly, trust God. We that trust the Lord, if we will trust the Lord, we can be at peace in all situations. I like this verse. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Maybe you're lost. Hey, did you realize a lost person can be a nice person? You can actually have good character and still be lost. You can be genuine and kind and be lost, just like Esau. Esau changed from when we last met him, but let's not be deceived in that change. Don't let those changes deceive us into thinking that we're okay with God because we've changed over time. Yes, Esau was different, but I don't believe Esau was saved. Romans chapter 9, verse 13, something that's written thousands of years later. The Bible says, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. That was written 1,000 years after this event. He grew up, yes. He became more tolerable, yes. He became kinder, and he maybe even became a family man. But that doesn't make him a Christian any more than it makes a good person a Christian. No, good characteristics does not make one a believer. But every believer should have good characteristics. So if you're here depending on your goodness to take you to heaven, or the fact that you're different than you once were, that doesn't save you. People change. I've met people that were really ugly when they were younger, and the next time I meet them, they're as kind and gentle as can be, but yet they're still as lost as a goose in a hailstorm. Esau was different. But it doesn't change the fact that Esau still was not a child of God. And so if you're here today and you're lost, but you think that you're different than you used to be, I'm glad about that. I've met a lot of nice people that do not know Christ. Have you? I've met a lot of good people that do not know Christ. They would mow your grass if you got hurt. They would fix you a meal if you got sick. They would even visit you in the hospital just because they care, and yet they have no idea of their relationship with Jesus. That doesn't make a person saved. And I did notice that about Esau, though. I like this Esau better than that Esau. Unfortunately, both Esaus would die and go to hell. So if you're here today and you do not know Christ as your Savior, or you're relying on something that's changed your personality to take you to heaven, that won't do it. Only Jesus saves. So maybe you're here this evening and you're going through the valley. Hey, every valley, there's two mountaintops. Maybe you're on the mountaintops and you're thinking that nothing will ever go bad. Well, the Bible says, take heed lest ye fall. Usually when I think those kind of thoughts, it's the very next day that I end up falling down. Be aware. Trust the Lord. Don't do the unnecessary things like Jacob did to get his brother's favor. All of that, you know what that was? Was a waste of worry, a waste of time, and a waste of resources. He lost a lot of cattle. He lost a lot of camels. He lost a lot of sheep over that incident. And he didn't need to, because his prayer is what did the trick, not his planning. So some of us, we have to realize that we just need to depend upon God a little more than we do and trust Him. Don't we? And if you're lost, then I want you to know Jesus loves you. He died for you. He was willing to go to hell for you than to live in heaven without you. And if you'll trust Him to be your Savior, He'll save you from your sin. And I hope you'll do that this evening.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed the study from God's Word today. We also stream our services live on Facebook. Facebook.com/Victory Baptist Church WV. Thank you so much for joining us, and have a blessed day.